Happy New Year.
It's the news.
According to me.
Happy New Year. It is the first show of 2025. January 2nd, 9:15 a.m. 2025. The second day of January. First week is almost over, which means we are well into the month. And of course, after January, we're coming up on the first quarter of the year. And after that, it's just all downhill from there. The year is pretty much practically over. Since we're rolling right into it, you probably should be preparing for 2026 already. That's my philosophy. We have a few things to get into. First of all, we're going to get into my cup. We have chai. Some things just never change. With cinnamon creamer. Not Cinnabon, just cinnamon. Which, of course, it's a little thick on the cinnamon. I don't know. It's just a little too heavy on the cinnamon. It's not quite, it doesn't have that kind of a creamy cinnamon, kind of Cinnabon flavor. Whereas this, it's not bad. It's just, it's not one of my favorites. It's not my fave. I have in my backup cup again. Now, this is more important. I drank all of my homemade peach tea, and now I have Joe peach tea, not Yo peach tea. I don't have Joe peach tea. I have Joe tea that's peach flavored. It's not Joe tea. It's my tea. It's not Mighty. It's my tea. It's not Joe tea, but it's Joe tea. Not Joe cheese. Anyway, if you don't know, it isn't funny. We have a few things to talk about. What a way to start the year off. Hoping that there could be some more better news. I want to talk a little bit at some point, probably near the end of the show. I'll be the last part of the show, latter part of the show today. I'm going to be talking about what's going to happen here in 2025. Some of the plans I have for podcasting. Very likely there will be a new podcast started before the end of this month. Now this is there's a couple of things I've been tossing around for a couple of years, and so one of those is going to be, I'm sure one of those is going to be done. Well, Lord willing, and hopefully with my schedule doing what it's going to do here in 2025, it's going to be a little bit different era for me. And I will probably have more time to do a little more production work. So I probably will start to have more. I'll get into that later in the show. We'll talk about that kind of stuff if you're interested in what's happening with the broadcast podcast of the news, according to me. And there'll be other things as well. Now, I want to talk first of all about what happened down in New Orleans. I have not heard from anybody specifically who was down there, and I know some people who were down there at that time. I haven't heard anything back from them specifically. I'm going to try to find better reports of what's going on or what happened. My understanding is that this attacker, as far as I know, there was only one, but it's believed, and it's just because of what's been happening with the authorities down there, they must know something. And this is all speculation on my part at this point, but they seem to be implying that there were more people involved in this than just one person, and that this was more of a heavier attack. And I'm still trying to come up to speed on it. Yesterday, I spent more time in the air yesterday than I did on the ground, and when I was on the ground, I was driving, so I didn't get a chance to really hear much about the reports of what happened. In fact, I didn't hear about it, the actual attack, until almost 12 hours after it happened. It was probably actually more than that. I didn't hear about the attack until about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And my understanding was the attack happened that night before, so it would have been happened on Tuesday night, I guess. I didn't hear anything about it at all. And it's what's the problem? Well, I went to bed early because I knew I had to get up early. I was on my way to the airport, of course, like I always am. And I ended up not listening to any news reports at that time. Didn't see anything come across my news feed at all until someone told me about it getting off of an airplane because they were talking about the Notre Dame game that was supposed to happen. I guess that was supposed to happen down in New Orleans. And, of course, I was heading to South Bend, and somebody asked me I wasn't going to fly into South Bend. I was flying out of Chicago. But as I happened to mention to somebody, I was heading to South Bend and driving there. And they said something about the Notre Dame game getting canceled or postponed. And apparently, when I asked what was good because of the weather, I had no idea what was going on. And of course, it was in the Sugar Bowl. I didn't realize that. Of course, that's a dome, so it wasn't a weather issue. And they kind of acted like I was an idiot, which I, you know, good guess. That's beside the point. The other part of it was I was an uninformed idiot. I had no idea. You know, being an idiot's one thing, but being an uninformed idiot is a whole other thing. So I ended up getting informed then on the way home and finding out really more about what was going on. Still a little bit unsure. And I think the authorities, some of the news reports are a little bit shaky. Now, my understanding is this fellow was a Muslim. And apparently that had something to do with his motivation. Are all Muslims terrorists? No. A lot of terrorists are Muslims. That's all I'm going to say. So we have this issue going on. Of course, they have to be sensitive about this because if this was a white male Christian person, they would be all over it. They'd be telling us everything about their every little thing about their life. In this case, we don't know very much, a lot about it. My guess is that there's probably a radicalized cell of some kind. Now, at the same time, this is going on in Las Vegas. We have a Tesla pulling up in front of the Trump Tower, Trump Casino, or whatever it is there, Trump Hotel. It's just hotel, and of course the Tesla blows up. This is kind of like the loud pops were heard near the president, and he hit the floor. Yeah, he got shot in the ear. That's why he hit the floor. In this case, an electrical fire caused a Tesla Cybertruck to burn up in front of the Trump. They were hoping this was going to be some kind of harbinger. I think this. I don't know. The news media. This would have happened in front of an abortion clinic, for example. What do you think the reaction would have been? Car bomb explodes. Tesla. Elon Musk was part of this. They would have been all over this whole thing. It would have been a Cybertruck with a MAGA sticker on the side of it blew up. In front of an attempt to blow up an abortion clinic, whatever, they would have blown it all out of. It would have been a whole different narrative. They would have started to slant on this whole thing. But this is just an electrical fire. An electrical fire in a truck that happened to have a whole bunch of gas cans and some other things in it. They're suspecting this man may have had some military background. Either that or just watch YouTube. Some of the stuff is. Some of the reports that come out on the stuff is you have to kind of, even when they do have a report that comes out from official sources, I hate to say this. Every time I hear now that the FBI is investigating you, that doesn't give me any kind of reassurance that we're going to find out anything at all. First thing is that the FBI steps in to investigate. Oh, that's great. What are they going to hold on to? What are they going to tell us? What are they not going to tell us? How are they going to spin this? What kind of crap are we going to hear from? That's what aggravates me most of all about this. Of course, now they're going to say this guy was on the FBI watch list. But Babylon Bee actually made a meme, a joke about this kind of thing. We want to reassure. It was a statement that, of course, they're all satire. But it's this thing about how the FBI wants to reassure the American people that we have the next terrorist on our watch list. The next mass shooter on our watch list, I think was what it was. That's the kind of ironically just ridiculous kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, we had him on the watch list. Oh, well, that makes us feel better. This guy was probably on the watch list. And that's supposed to somehow make us feel better. You weren't watching him very closely then, were you? You just had him on a list. Kind of like Santa's list. This doesn't really exist. I guess we're supposed to feel like, oh, yeah, they're on the case. And apparently you're not. Of course, they'll use this to say, well, we had him on the watch list, but we couldn't do anything about it. So we need more power. We need more authority, too. We need more surveillance technology. We need to be able to surveil people more to keep these kinds of things from happening. Well, you just need to do basic gumshoe investigation, which they don't know anything about anymore. Sit behind computers and shuffle paperwork. So this whole thing with now, last I heard, I believe it was 15 people. This is the last report I heard, and it's probably the death toll, as far as I know, is probably going to climb. And it may be more than that now, but my understanding was there's 15 confirmed from the attack that have died, and there's several people, many people injured, and more than 15 people injured. The horrific events, a car of some sort, a vehicle of some sort, was driven into a crowd, took out a bunch of people, and then, of course, they opened up shooting afterwards. And that's all I know about the whole thing at this point. I'll probably find out more today as time goes on. I'm going to hear from some people who were probably from there, saw the event. I've heard from a few witnesses, and it's just been horrific. It's the kind of thing that you just don't, you just can't imagine it. You can't imagine being in that situation. Of course, everybody thinks, "Oh, I would have just jumped out of the way." No, this kind of thing happens so quickly. It's just, you're there one day and you're there 1 minute, and then the next second you're gone. One fellow was talking about he was walking behind someone, had someone else walking behind him. They were in this little 3-person group as they were walking through the crowd. Of course, when you're walking through a crowd, sometimes you have to walk single file as you're trying to find your way through. And they're in this crowd, and they're kind of walking along, not really walking. You're just kind of along with the herd. And the next thing you know, they hear this, truck revving, whatever was going on, heard the commotion behind him. And the next thing you know, he looks back, and his friend was gone. And so it's one of those things where you feel safe and secure at some point, or at least you're on yellow kind of alert. You're not thinking anything terribly threatening is happening, and all of a sudden you're unaware of the threat. So there's that attack that happened right off the bat. And then we have this Cybertruck thing. My understanding, there were some other things that happened in some other cities. That, of course, there's some pretty major events. I guess in Honolulu, Hawaii, there was a fire that broke out. They were New Year's Eve fireworks that broke out. And the fire broke out, and apparently massive destruction, I guess. And some people actually got possibly killed, I guess, from it. I might be getting some word here from someone, actually. Let's see what's going on here. Just know what. My computer's acting very slow this morning. It is just the computer itself. It's not the internet. This is really frustrating. Can't even get to the page. It's going so slowly. Here we go. What's it doing now? I don't know. So, what just happened? Oh, my word. Here we go. All right, so that's all done. I'm sure you're all were concerned about that for a minute. We have interesting things happening here. The other thing that happened after this New Orleans thing happened, President Biden got out, and they let him out for a little bit, and he read the script about what happened. And in typical fashion, he repeated himself several times and tried to emphasize words because that's a tactic he's learned to use very well when he wants to pretend like he's emphasizing a point when really he's trying to catch up on what he's trying to read what he's saying. And he falls behind, loses his place, and he rereads something to make it sound like he's emphasizing a point. Let me give you a demonstration of this. See if I can find it. Yeah, I can find something here. I'm sure I got a each one here. Let's see what we got here. I'm sure I got some script that I can read that will give you an example of what this is like. So when somebody reads a thing like this. What is this? No, that's not what I was looking for. Here we go. This is a statement of claim for demand arbitration. This might work. We'll see if this works. We'll see what this is. I'm not sure. This is probably. Oh. So someone might read something like this. As this matter remains unresolved, a statement of claim and demand for arbitration is enclosed. Please contact me within 15 days from this date of this letter. 15 days. 15 days from the date of this letter. So that we may resolve this dispute or select an arbitrator. Arbitrator. Or select an arbitrator. So someone who does something like this, they'll read like that, and they'll go back over the statement because they kind of lost their way, and they can't figure out what they're doing. So they'll say something like that. That's kind of what I'm talking about. You'll find that Joe Biden does that a lot. Now that's one thing. Set that aside for a second. You really need to go out there and look at the video of this guy, Biden. This guy, President Biden, reading this script. This man does not look healthy. Now, I have seen people in nursing homes with severe impairments who look better than Joe Biden. I will be shocked and amazed if Joe Biden lives to see the end of 2025. I don't want to see him. I'm going to see him restored to health and have a happy, healthy life to 100 like Jimmy Carter had, be able to was the last few years of Jimmy Carter's life. He was in hospice, and I it's just a very difficult thing to go through. I'm kind of convinced that if I get to the point where I'm having a hard time, you know, I'm facing hard time functioning and that kind of thing, just send me over to some place where I can just stand up, preach the gospel, and get killed for it. Just that's the way I want to go out. Send me someplace that I can at least proclaim the good news, even if they're going to kill me for it. That's where I want to just breathe my last breath doing that. So it's difficult just to watch this guy. His mouth, he can't hardly move his mouth. He stammers on his speech. He's having a hard time just articulating any words at all. It's almost at the point of abuse now. At this point, I don't understand. I don't know how to explain anything. I don't know how to tell you anything else. How do you explain this? It is so difficult. So we have that, and then we have, of course, the President Trump actually came out with a statement about the death of Jimmy Carter. And of course, it's easy to pile on Jimmy Carter. Now, what Jimmy Carter did as president was terrible. There was a reason he was a one-termer. And there was a reason why Ronald Reagan was so popular, because of after what we'd been through with Jimmy Carter. I see young people today who look back at the record of Jimmy Carter and say, I think Jimmy Carter was probably really, it was a pretty darn good president. Yeah, these are the same people who think that Joe Biden was on the top of his game. I think tomorrow's show, by the way, there will be a show tomorrow morning. And it's, well, Lord willing. And it's just, I've got some audio that I'm going to be playing, all with regard to the nature now of the news media, where we've come and what they're talking about, how they're trying to correct themselves from what happened throughout the year and all the things they were saying about Joe Biden. How surprised they were at how his, they just didn't see his, they just realize his cognitive decline was so bad. And it's just, we'll get into that tomorrow morning. I got a lot of audio clips I'm going to play that are just very telling, from the very people who were telling us how wonderful and perfect he was, and now they're saying how, oh, they just had no idea. Everyone's defending him from all the people trying to tell them about his cognitive decline. And he's in bad shape, folks. He's just not doing well. In fact, this may be the reason they just might say, well, he can't handle the next month, the end of his term. We're going to... Now, you realize we are just a few days away. I'm talking next week is the counting of the Electoral College. Now, this is going to be Kamala Harris performing the ceremony like Mike Pence was supposed to do on January 6th. And he ended up doing it a few hours later because, you know, the worst attack that ever happened on our country since Pearl Harbor. And 3 hours later, they finished the process. Or 4 hours, whatever it was. Running a little behind schedule, we just got attacked with the worst attack of our country since the Civil War. And it was, you know, same day, we're just going to finish doing what we did. That's how bad it was. These people are pathetic. So we have... all that going on. Now, this whole thing with the Tesla truck, Elon Musk came out. I don't know whether to laugh or shake my head at this. He makes this statement. Now, these guys picked the wrong truck to start a car bomb, to have a car, because all the blast went up. Now, one person did die. And I don't know if they're just, all I heard was one person is dead in this process. And as far as I know, it's just the driver of the truck. I don't know anything else about any of this. I don't know who buys a Cybertruck to use it as a car bomb. Did they steal the Cyber? What's going on here? Because this is not a cheap truck. You don't just go out. They haven't been out there that long. It's not like he went out and bought an old, used, beat up Cybertruck. Now I see people. I see all these channels on YouTube. These guys are going out and tearing up. They're just destroying Cybertrucks. When people start doing that kind of thing for the views, you know that they are just out there. These content creators, these influencers, they're making good money. There's money pouring in from somewhere. And you don't just go out and buy a Cybertruck and then go out and destroy the thing. They're looking for millions of views, and apparently they're getting paid very well for those millions of views. And of course, the control that Google has over you, this is one of the things that people are kind of all yelling about. Laura Loomer got demonetized on Twitter, apparently on Twitter X, for saying what she said about Elon Musk and some other things. She's saying things about H-1B visas. She got demonetized because of some of the things she was saying about the visas. Well, that's not why she got demonetized. Apparently, she doxed Elon Musk and his family. That's what got her demonetized. Allegedly. I don't know that this is the case or not. All I know is we're not hearing the whole story on this whole thing. And now, Laura Loomer I've been a quasi, I guess, silent supporter of hers. I've been kind of concerned about the fact that her free speech and some other things have been, the way she's been treated by some of the news media and some of the other things in the past. I don't know that much about her, but she seems like she's been treated unfairly in the past. I don't know. If this is the case, if I would have been Elon Musk, I'd have done the same thing. I'd be, you're off the platform and I'm demonetizing you. You're threatening me and my family. I would be done with it. Now, having said that, I don't know that it's necessarily I don't know. I don't know if that happened or not. I know that there was a big kerfuffle with people saying things on Twitter X about the H-1B visas, and I know Elon had some very strong opinions about it, which is fine. Everybody can have their opinions, and everybody can argue about it. That's not a problem. Discourse is not the issue here. The problem is, what happens to people who then come back and smack you over the head with it, for disagreeing with them. Because that's what's being portrayed to some degree. Well, if you just disagree with Donald Trump, you're going to get, you're going to get the hammer. No. And I've got some of the audio I'll be playing tomorrow has some of those kinds of, that kind of rhetoric in it from mainstream media. And they're still proclaiming that stuff. They're still going after this. They've only got, they're a one-trick pony, okay? They're if you know what that is, a pony that only knows one trick. It's a fascinating trick. Everybody comes to see it, but there's only one trick, and then the show's over. That's all they know how to do. There is I'm reminded of this one particular entertainer who plays the violin and dances around. And she wears different outfits and costumes, and she dances around. She does this little violin thing where she plays the violin, and I don't even think she sings. I think she just plays the violin and dances. And she apparently has struck it big because she did this stuff thing on YouTube. Apparently she tried to do something on America's Got Talent or something or whatever it was or something and lost miserably. And then she went off on her own and did this YouTube thing. And then she started, all of a sudden she got discovered on YouTube and she started having this following. She went viral. And then now she has a show. She goes around, plays, and she changes costumes, all the time, and she does all this music stuff, and it's this big extravaganza with lights and a violin player. I don't know. I know very little about it. All I know is she's got a show. She's on the road. She does these big productions. But she just plays the violin and dances. And she's kind of like a one-trick pony kind of thing. This is kind of what reminds me of, is just you've got one thing you do. It's like I've seen, 100 different, because these little things come across your you know, your little shorts, you know, when you're going scrolling through shorts at, you know, at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep and you're just going to kind of keep scrolling. Your brain can't shut off. It happens to me occasionally. And it doesn't always happen to me. Usually I play a video, like some boring thing about something, you know, stock trading or something, and it's all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm snoring. But the, just something to get my brain off of, you know, something to, just to bore myself to sleep. Occasionally I do that. The interesting thing, though, is how this, that's all the news media has. Orange man bad. You know, Trump's, you know, off the rails. We're gonna, they see where this got them before. Well, maybe they don't see it. Maybe they don't understand their, and this is what I'm gonna talk about tomorrow. It's gonna be more about the, how did they lose so miserably? Now, the thing that really shut them up was the popular vote thing. That they didn't expect that at all. They thought maybe there was a possibility of losing the Electoral College. I don't think that they even thought that was going to happen. They were still back in their same euphoric 2016 idea that this person was going to win. And there was just no other acceptable outcome. So how can the American people be so misogynist and racist? Because the candidate stinks. That's why. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Some other things that are going on. The possibility. No, this is day two of January 2025, and all this stuff is happening. I would contend that we are entering into a tumultuous time. Now, either people can get behind America, stand for America, hope for the best. Now, one of the things that John Fetterman said, which is unbelievable that he would say this, now, people said about this about Barack Obama as well, and I want to temper this a little bit with some statements that were made. Well, if you hope that the, because Rush Limbaugh came out and said that he hopes Obama fails. Well, if Obama fails, the country fails. Sort of, not really. And let me explain this a little further. Let me dig down into this just a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what we're going to do next this year with the shows. Everybody was saying, "Oh, it's terrible that Rush Limbaugh said he wants to see the president fail because that means the country is going to fail." First of all, if our country hangs on everything that the president does, then we've got the wrong idea. We've given the president way too much power, first of all. And it's secondly, if you think that the president is the one who's going to save the day for the American people, again, you are wrong, because it's the American people who will save the day. We are governed at the consent of the governed. We give them our consent to be governed. It is a government for, of, and by the people. Think about each of those statements. For the people. In other words, government isn't for themselves. It isn't out to protect themselves, the government. It's out to protect the people. Of the people. In other words, voted by, elected by officials that are appointed by and put in place by the people. Not the oligarchs, not the political class. Not the parties. It is through a democratic process that we elect representatives for the people, to represent us, the people. Against the tyrannical knuckleheads that want to seize power over us all the time. And by the people. So the government is by the people. In other words, people, the general population, people from the population, people are put into place to govern at our consent, to implement the work of governance. That's what our government is made of. They are not elected to have authority over us. They are not elected to be lords over us. They are represented to, they are elected to represent us and our rights and defend our rights, period. And we have rights to property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which actually is more about the enjoyment of the fruits of our labor. That is not where government is today. It is teetering, I would say, well down the cliff. Going off that cliff. Now, Rush Limbaugh's statement was he wanted to see President Obama's agenda fail because President Obama's agenda was to turn our nation into a Marxist collectivist society. And he pushed that a long way down the field. Rush Limbaugh did not want him to see him succeed in that. That's what that was about. He wanted to see the country succeed. He wanted to see the country maintained. He wanted to see Barack Obama and his policies fail. Now, Fetterman comes out and says, well, anybody that wants to see Trump fail means that the country is going to fail. So the same statement's being made here, this time in defense of Donald Trump. I would say again, let's not hang all of our hopes on Donald Trump because he's just the president. Now, can he make a difference? Absolutely he can. He has a lot of authority, too much authority, too much power, in my opinion. The president's the seat of the president, the office of the president has too much authority now, in my opinion. But at least we have someone who is hopefully going to manage that and operate within the authority that he has in a positive direction for our nation, not for the people of this nation, not just for government itself to get bigger. One of the things that he's going to implement again, right, day one, he's going to, I think it's for every regulation they put into place, there's 10 regulations that are taken out. I think it's 10 or 20. I'm not sure how many it is. So for every regulation that they put into place, that they pass, that he signs for, they have to take out 10 regulations. Makes it very difficult to put in new regulations. Now, of course, they can always manipulate it so that this new regulation has all the other regulations built into the cake. They can do that. So it consolidates the regulations. There's ways they can play this game. But for the most part, it gives them an opportunity to rearrange and change and modify and hopefully make better some of these regulatory disasters that they've implemented over the state of our nation. So hopefully they can do that. Now, the other part of that is that if Donald Trump is successful, in my opinion, there's only one way that Donald Trump can be successful in what he's doing. This which kind of boils down to, yes, if Donald Trump is successful, then the nation is successful in this case, which is we are going to implement policies and procedures and everything else within the nation that will hopefully clean up a lot of the junk, get us out of this collectivist mentality, and keep our country going in the right direction. Turn it in the right direction. So all this stuff is hopefully understandable and can get back into this. The last 4 years have just been a mess. And I think that's where people are just kind of waking up to this whole thing of, hey, we just can't have any more. This is just baloney. This is nuts. So, that being said, let's just conclude the political rhetoric. The year ahead, I think I have a very optimistic view of what's happening in our nation. I think that we've turned a corner. I think people just have kind of gagged on the stuff that was being shoved down our throats for so long. I think that the legacy news media is on their heels. We have an opportunity to move forward. Now, the biggest thing that stands in our way right now is the Republican establishment, as well as the Democrat establishment. But the powers that be, the typical political class that is in the oligarchs that are trying to run things, in my opinion, that is probably the biggest hurdle to come over now, and overcome right now. We'll see how this pans out. But there we are. Now, I'm going to take a sip of my peach tea. It's actually Joe Peach Tea. And we're going to change gears here a little bit. This year, there's been a few things that have... Now, for those of you, some of you who know how to get in touch with me, maybe I can hear back from you. The couple of possibilities. There's one that's here's a couple of ideas for some new podcast ideas. Now, the News According to Me will continue to go out there because everybody wants to know what my opinion is on everything. They can't hardly make it through their day without knowing my opinion. Whenever something confronts them, like, the light turns yellow and they're moving towards the intersection and they scratch their chin and they say, what would Kevin do? I wonder what Kevin's opinion of this situation would be. Would he go through the yellow light? Would he try to make it? Or would he just stop, slow down? Would he go faster? I just wonder what Kevin would do. WWKD. I should sell bracelets. I'm not going to sell merch, so don't worry about that. Not on this show, anyway. Now, so there are those, there are those who will just, hang on. They hang on every word I say, which is, understandable. I get that. Yeah. And I would also like to say you need to seek help if that's the case. But the other things that I want to do, there's been a podcast that I've wanted to start for a long time called The Conspiracy. It has a question mark after it. And we'll talk about various conspiracies throughout the ages, everything from JFK to, whatever it is. Just all kinds of things. There's a lot of things that happened during World War II that are conspiracy theories, things that happened back in the 1800s and the Renaissance, things, just history itself. Those kinds of things, and then talk about the modern day, where we're headed, kind of, and that not only is part of the conspiracy thing, but also the past conspiracies, but the way that circles back to where we are today and what's happening with our society and how it's being influenced and how people who are trying to control the nation, people control society, the George Soroses that are out there, And what's happening with us in terms of how all those things come together with education, food, banking, just everything that's out there. I just had a massive sneeze, and you didn't hear it because I pushed my little button. The other side of it is, that's one particular show that I've thought about doing, is just to talk about those kinds of things, and it's a little bit more of a... has more of a prophetic edge to it because we're delving into things I believe we are living in what's going to be considered to be the end times. Now, as long as man's existence has been known, I would say, what everybody wonders, look at where we've come from the last 200 years. Where we were in the 1800s compared to where we are now. We've come a long way in 200 years. 200 years is minuscule in man's history here. And how much further can this go? How much can it go another 100 years? Can it go another 50 years? And will the return happen, soon, or is it going to be another 1,000 years? I don't know what we're going to look like. What things are going to look like in the next few hundred years? But all I know is technology now is at the point where everything that's written in the book of Revelation could potentially be implemented. Literally everything. In ways that we would not have imagined 100 years ago. Maybe not even 50 years ago. So, yeah, we're rapidly, in my opinion, approaching things that are going to unfold in the last days, biblically. Now, having said that, there is another show I would like to do, and I think it's going to be I had talked about having this show kind of become more like that, because what I really had originally intended to do for this show to be, and it all kind of changed at 2020, because the direction I was headed with this show, I actually started The News According to Me back in like 2012. Maybe it was before that, I'm not sure. There are old YouTube videos of The News According to Me that are old. I was a spry young man back then. And I was doing a show, I think, about every other day or something, or it was quite often, maybe every day, a couple times a day. And the show was very different back then. Now, what I have wanted to do is a show that does deep dives, which requires a lot of background. It requires actually a lot of preparation to do this. Right now, I can just sit down on the show. I can hit the record button and just take off and go. I can talk for an hour about nothing. And then I record it and I put it out there and people listen to it, I guess. Apparently, people just listen to it. I don't know why. But I know some people put it on because they want to go to sleep. So they... I won't mention any names, but it rhymes with job. So we have... We'll see if he responds to that. Because if he doesn't listen, then he's probably already asleep. If he's been listening to this show, he's probably already asleep. And another one that rhymes with day starts with a completely different letter. We have I don't know why he listens to it, other than he's just probably bored while he's driving from one place to another. I think he likes to listen to. Me drivel, I think. I'm not sure what is going on with that. Regardless of all that, okay, so we have the other part of the show that I think I may just have a different show because it's, and it may not be every day. The problem with this is it takes so much more preparation that I may have to spend a week preparing for it. And what I'm planning on doing is having a show that does a deep dive on YouTube content creators or influencers / influencers. So the people who report the news, people like Mark Dice. There's even people like Joseph Z, who's more of a prophetic guy. Everything from biblical people to just news people to decoy voice. Anything that's out there, not necessarily Christian believers. Maybe in some cases, sometimes whatever they are. Just kind of doing a deep dive on their channel, what they do, how they, what their opinions are, things that they broadcast, what their story is. Now, in the process of doing this, what I've hoped to do is to build that up to a point where I can start having some people and actually interviewing some people, which I think would be awesome to be able to interview people like Decoy Voice or even lesser known people. I know Mr. Reagan's pretty well known. Just anybody, News According to Me, not News According to Me, the Next News Network, Gary Frenchy, people like that, or people he's become, some of these people have become untouchable because they have such a following. They don't pay attention to little peons like me, but it would be really, I think, fun for the average common guy out there to be able to interview them. People like, who's the other guy I was trying to think of? He went by the name BC, Black Conservative Patriot. BCP. He has a show called BCP, Black Conservative Patriot. He also has another one, some other channel he's got. So people like that, it'd be kind of fun to interview them or even meet up with them at some point, or maybe do a Zoom interview of some kind or whatever it's going to be. Ask them some questions, have a chance to tell their story, talk to them for 15 to 30 minutes of their time. I know, I realize that's a lot of time for some of these people that are very, very, very busy people, busier than I am. So it'd be kind of fun to do that. The other side of it is just to be able to do a deep dive on the channels and kind of give you guys or the listener a chance to kind of explore the background story of some of these folks. Even people, you know, like Cenk Uygur and Young Turks, I go into that whole thing and talk. I'm not sure that I would ever have a chance to interview Cenk Uygur or what's that lady's name that's on his show, Anna Kasparian, I guess, or in the some of the others that are, that are out there, to just inform you, the listener, more about their background, more about what's going on with them. I think that would be kind of a fun show. Not fun. It'd be fun for you. It'd be a lot of work for me because there is a whole lot of research and background and just jotting things down that I'd have to put together. It'd almost be a scripted program. I could probably do it with AI, I guess. Just let AI do it. I'm sure that'll be all honest and fair and upright and everything. So those are the things I'm looking at doing. There's also some other podcasts I'm looking at doing. I am working on a book, and the book is called The Conspiracy with a question mark. The tagline of the book is Evidence of Things Unseen. And I has to do with some of the things that are happening around political events in the nation and the world, and it just world events in general, and how it all comes together. So I'm trying to put all this together, hopefully this year. My schedule seems to have kind of settled down for the year. I will know kind of where I'm going to be throughout the month, which is kind of nice. I was on a different kind of schedule last year. I've kind of decided to change that up a little bit. So I'll know kind of where I'm going to be and how long I'm going to be there, and for the most part. And so I'm going to be, I'll have a little bit more time to work on some things. So that's where we are at this point. In the meantime, folks, this is the second day of the year, and I hope it's going well for you so far. We can pray for those who are the victims of the attacks in New Orleans, pray for the investigators, pray for the police departments, all those people who are trying to figure this out, all those who were affected by this whole thing, and in some ways we're all affected by it. Pray for the leadership of our nation, and as we make this transfer of administrations and everything that's happening here, that people will, the resistance is not going to be waning. So we need to continue to pray for all those involved, especially those around the president, that they are able to do their job and make this all happen. Folks, God bless. Happy New Year. Take care. See you.